all month long. KUTX celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Armadillo World Headquarters. Hear stories and memories from the venue that put Austin on the musical map.
I was standing on our cabaret in front of our bar in 72, and somebody behind me obviously wanted to talk, and I turned around, and there was a little guy standing there and said, "Hi, I'm Willie Nelson." And I said, "I've been looking for you." And he said, "Well, you found me." And I said, "I want you to play here." He said, "I want to play here." Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2 weeks later, he played there, and that was where it started. But it was all just kind of a, you know, walk up, shake hands, and say, "How do you do?" and get it on.
Stay all night, stay a little longer, dance all night, dance a little longer, pull off coat.
Well, I found a group of people down here who felt and thought pretty much the way I did about everything. The Cowboys and Big G's liked to hear Hank Williams, and the long-haired hippies over at the Armadillo liked it. They were liking the same music, so I felt like I had the best of two worlds.
When Waylon played the first time, Willie wasn't there, and Will had talked him into playing, and they start to play, and that huge column of smoke begins to rise up in front of him, and he goes, "Where is that little redheaded son of a bitch? I'm going to kill him. What is he doing to us over here?" But in the next two bars, everybody in the audience was on their feet singing along.
Well, the honky-tonks in Texas were my natural second home.
And he had never experienced that, not even in Nashville. And they knew all the songs, and they knew all the songs to the new record that had just come out. So by the time they got done, they were so beloved they didn't know what to do with themselves.
It's the home of Willie Nelson, the home of Western Swing.
The artwork for the posters that would precede a concert, they were always these kind of trippy-dippy, amazing pieces of artwork from all types of artists.
The Jim Franklin or the Michael Priest posters of, you know, John Lee Hooker or, you know, Bruce Springsteen or anybody, you know, at the Armadillo, which just never the year, just always the date, you know, July 24th. And just these beautiful, original, Guy Juke, all these incredible, beautiful, original pieces of art.
There was one time I remember I was at 24th and Lamar in the light, and I noticed the Papa John Creed poster on the lamppost, and so I jumped out of my van, tore it off, and got back in before the light changed.
For a while, Leon Russell lived there for a while. I don't remember what his situation was or exactly when it was, but he actually lived at the Armadillo and, you know, some of their back rooms. And so he would just show up on stage when people were playing. And they go, "Oh, well, you want to sit in?" And he'd go, "Yeah, sure." And so they'd pull out a piano and he would join them. Or sometimes you'd just be there and there wasn't even a show. You'd be there on a Sunday afternoon, drink a beer out in the beer garden. You'd hear something and it'd be Leon up on stage playing the piano, just kind of hanging out, you know. That was the feel of the Armadillo. You never knew who was going to be up there.
I remember on Sunday afternoons at 3:00, they would have the Austin Ballet Theater. And you could come in there and there, you know, and sit on a folding chair and get a pitcher of beer and some nachos and watch ballet.
It wasn't the act so much as it was the audience. Because here, sitting on those filthy old rugs spread across that concrete floor, sitting cross-legged, were all these blue-haired ladies and guys with ties sitting there cross-legged with a pitcher of beer in front of them and our normal complement of hippies and rednecks.
Where else but Austin could you see, you know, cowboys in boots? Ballet in the same building. It was just very, very strange.
So I graduated high school early. I was 17 years old, came to University of Texas at Austin. I heard that John Prine was going to be playing at the Armadillo. to walk in. I'm just kind of taking in the expanse of the Armadillo. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I wouldn't mind a beer, you know, but I'm underage, still 18 then. So I ordered a pitcher. They don't card me, and I get my pitcher. I'm like, great. And then I smell that sweet, acrid smoke. Right about then, this big, typical Austin hippie, think something from Central Casting, you know, 6 foot and change, long dark Jesus hair, part in the middle, Frank Zappa beard and mustache, kind of saddles up next to me, and he pulls out a Moose Killer and he passes it. I'm 17 years old, I'm 1500 miles away from home, I got a pitcher of beer in one hand, a joint in the other, and at that exact moment the lights came down and John Prine came out on stage.
Pretty good, not bad, I can't complain.
And I remember he must have been excited too, because he broke 4 strings on his guitar on the opening song. I was like, damn, this place is different, this place is unlike any place I've ever been in my life.
Learn more about the Armadillo World Headquarters 50th anniversary at KUTX.org.